Our next guest was the head of the CIA under President Obama. He was also defense secretary and was the White House chief of staff under President Clinton. He's currently chairman of the Panetta Institute for Public Policy in Monterey, California. Leon Panetta, thanks so much for joining us once again.
Nice to be with you, Jeremy.
And let's start with what we just saw, the bombing in Manchester, England, which killed 22 people earlier this week. We now know the bomber was a British national of Libyan descent who is already known to authorities. Is there any way to stop these homegrown terrorists?
Well, it's a real challenge to try to get ahead of these kinds of attacks. I mean, this is not a situation where you have a group of people planning some kind of coordinated attack similar to 9/11. What you have are individuals who are within a country, born and raised there often, living within a community, and suddenly for a lot of reasons, become self-radicalized. This is, in some ways it was termed the lone wolf type attack, where someone suddenly comes out of the wall and conducts a suicide attack that creates terror among innocent people. And we're seeing more of that, obviously, in these last few years, and that's the way ISIS operates. But it is very challenging to try to be able to stop those type of attacks.
Well, the fact that this bomber was known to authorities makes you wonder whether there needs to be more targeted surveillance of people who are suspected of having terrorist ties or doing suspicious things.
Well, again, I always think that law enforcement and intelligence agencies do try to develop lists of suspicious people that they need to track. But, I think, as always, how you put people on that list, what do you use to justify it, and then how many are going to be on that list, and do you have the resources to be able to track all of the people that may be suspicious, this is not an easy challenge.
I want to ask you about something else that happened this week. This is former CIA Chief John Brennan testifying before a House Intelligence Committee hearing on Tuesday.
I encountered and am aware of information and intelligence that revealed contacts and interactions between Russian officials and U.S. persons involved in the Trump campaign that I was concerned about because of known Russian efforts to suborn such individuals. And it raised questions in my mind, again, whether or not the Russians were able to gain the cooperation of those individuals.
Now, he went on to say he doesn't know if there was collusion between anyone in the Trump campaign and the Russians. But what did you make of that?
I think it further justifies the investigations that are going on into what Russia did and whether or not there is any collusion. I mean, the reality is that Russia conducted, a cyber attack on this country, a very serious attack to destabilize this country and interfere with our election process. In the process of doing that, they may very well have worked either wittingly or unwittingly with individuals in the Trump campaign. The reality is, as John Brennan testified, that there were a number of individuals within the campaign that had contacts with the Russians. All of that has to be looked at. All of that has to be investigated to determine just exactly what took place here. This is a very serious issue because the Russians have not only conducted that kind of attack against the United States, they did it in France. They're doing it in Germany. They're doing it elsewhere. I think they've determined that this is a very viable weapon to use to create instability in a country. And because of that, we are obligated to do everything necessary to find out what exactly happened.
And are you confident now that that will happen with the appointment of Robert Mueller as special counsel?
I have a great deal of confidence in Bob Mueller. I worked with him when he was FBI director. I was CIA director. We had a great partnership. He's very serious. He's got a great deal of integrity. He focuses on the challenge that he's responsible for. And I have I have a lot of confidence in his ability to conduct this investigation. He's a good man. In addition to that, I hope that the various committees that are investigating this on the Hill will continue to pursue this issue as well. This is extremely important. This country cannot afford to ignore what took place when a foreign adversary used this kind of attack on our country to go after our basic institutions, the institutions of our freedoms and our ability to conduct a free election, and to try to influence that and to try to undermine stability. And frankly, you know, they're achieving their mission. What we're going through right now in terms of how the Russians look at this country and the kind of turmoil we're going through right now, I'm sure in some ways they are looking at each other and saying, we've accomplished the mission that we were after, which was to very seriously destabilize the United States of America and create this kind of turmoil. We've got to make sure that doesn't happen in the future.
Well, so what did you make of President Trump hosting the Russian foreign minister and the Russian ambassador in the Oval Office and then, as we now know, revealing some very classified information to them?
Well, you know, it raises serious concerns about just exactly whether or not the president really does understand the implications of what he's doing in this situation. I mean, the fact is Russians and the Russian nation is a foreign adversary of the United States. That's been the case for a long time. Their goal is to do everything possible to destabilize our country and to weaken the United States. The President of the United States needs to understand that. And yet, at times, in the way he behaves and what he says about the Russians and about the Russian threat and the fact that he was willing to share with them classified information that was very sensitive and that jeopardized not only the source of that intelligence, but the relationship with the country that provided it, that is irresponsible. So it is very important, it seems to me, that if this country is to protect our national security, and very frankly, that is the first mission of the President of the United States, is to protect our country. He cannot afford to take this kind of attitude with regards to our foreign adversaries. He speaks strongly about ISIS. He speaks strongly about terrorists. He speaks strongly about al-Qaeda, about Iran, about North Korea. He's got to wake up and speak strongly about the threat from Russia.
I want to ask you about one more big foreign policy issue, and maybe we'll put your defense secretary hat on here. The Trump administration is weighing whether or not to send potentially thousands more troops into Afghanistan. What do you think about that? Are you worried that we're getting bogged down there, or is it necessary to send more troops to have a surge to really take back control?
Nobody wants Afghanistan to fail and to become a safe haven for al-Qaeda the way they did before 9/11. Nobody wants that. But at the same time, our tactics have not always been that successful in going after the Taliban and going after those terrorist threats that exist there. And in many ways, I think the only way we ought to add additional personnel is if we have reconsidered the fundamental strategy about how we approach this. We cannot allow the Afghanistanis to simply sit back. They've got to go after these various areas that are now in Taliban control. And there's got to be a larger strategy that focuses on how we achieve those goals and what kind of timetable do we set to achieve those goals rather than simply continuing to do what we're doing now. Something has got to change if we're going to be able to be successful there.
Do you think President Trump will serve out his full term in office?
Well, that's the question in everybody's mind right now. This has obviously been a hell of a ride these last 4 months, and I've often said that this presidency is kind of the tale of two presidencies. On the national security side, I think he's got a pretty strong team. They do provide pretty good views about our foreign policy and our national security policy, and the president seems to listen to them On this trip, he's following the talking points. He seems to be adhering to a much more traditional approach to foreign policy abroad. On the domestic side, and dealing with both the politics and domestic issues, I just don't get the sense that he has that kind of team. People that are experienced, people that know the Hill, people that know issues, people that know how to discipline how they operate in the White House. And the result is, the White House appears very chaotic. I don't think he can afford to continue to operate that way and be able to survive in office. He's going to have to restructure the way the White House operates.
That's Leon Panetta, former director of the CIA, former secretary of defense, now chairman of the Panetta Institute for Public Policy. Secretary Panetta, thanks so much, as always, for joining us.
Thanks. Nice to be with you, Jeremy.